for electricity and everything else, you know, and so it costs me like $1,500, $1,600 a month.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill. 90.7 FM.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Andrew Kruskoff of Athens, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter, Wave Farms Executive Director. First, an enormous thank you to the thousands of individuals who have made WGXC possible since we first launched this unusual station's FM signal on February 26, 2011. Here we are almost 15 years later, and the station is thriving with unique and diverse programming that reflects so many different styles, aesthetics, points of view, and explores the actual radio medium as an art form. As the calendar year draws to a close, we are asking for your support to help WGXC enter a new and exciting phase. Help the WGXC Catskill Studio expand. We are in a position to occupy the entire storefront of 393 Main Street in Catskill. We're so excited to make this into an active community hub and studio, a gathering space for programmers, listeners, and the general public, workshops, performances, and more. Taking over the full space means our rent will double, and while fortunately we have a fair price in this regard, we do need your help to meet the increase. Your contributions will help us reach this goal and support the station's operations at large. Please visit wgxc.org/donate. Dig deep, give at whatever level is meaningful. All support, large, small, really large, is so impactful, and we are really, truly grateful. Thank you in advance for your support and generosity and for listening to Wave Farm Radio, WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears.
This is Brian DeWine. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, December 17th. Local early morning temperatures range from 11 degrees in Medusa to 29 in Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. Today will be a little warmer than we have gotten used to. A high of 43 happens at 2 p.m. Enjoy it while you can. Temperatures dip to 25 degrees overnight. Tomorrow is looking about the same. The afternoon gets a bit windy as temperatures reach 44 degrees at 2 p.m. A little dip will happen when the sun goes down, but the warm front coming through takes over and rain enters the area. The temperatures will reach 54 degrees. Friday is looking windy and rainy all day as temperatures fall to 41 degrees by dark And Saturday, temperature patterns return to normal and we get a high of 36. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 1%. Plasma winds will be average at 554 kilometers per second, with an average density of 8 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently being impacted on multiple bands with a level 3 noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 81. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who think few things are spookier than silence. In these weird times, local voices become so much more important. And if you want to help keep them loud, head on over to WGXE.org and hit that donate button right at the top. Seasonally appropriate feelings will ensue.
Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump Tuesday ordered a total and complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers entering or leaving Venezuela, a dramatic escalation in his months-long pressure campaign against the government of President Nicolas Maduro. That from the Washington Post. They quote from social media, Venezuela is completely surrounded by the largest armada ever assembled in the history of South America, Trump wrote. It will only get bigger, and the shock to them will be nothing like they've ever seen before. The Post notes such a blockade could devastate Venezuela's already struggling economy, which depends on overseas oil sales primarily to China and often on sanctioned vessels. Meantime, tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of California's Proposition 36, which increased penalties for certain drug and theft crimes while promising more drug treatment. But experts say what really happened is a lot more people wound up in prison with hardly any going into treatment. Our Suzanne Potter has the story.
An analysis of state data by CalMatters found in the first 6 months of implementation, 9,000 people have been charged with a treatment-mandated felony, but only 25 completed treatment. Tara Lawyer is president of CROP, a reentry program with sites in Oakland and Los Angeles.
Proposition 36 promises of treatment was largely empty. When those thousands of people are released without comprehensive support, they're going to face the same barriers that led them to the criminal justice system in the first place.
She says part of the problem is long waiting lists for reentry programs.
Next, a proposal by the Trump administration could make it harder for people to become nurses. Nursing would no longer be classified as a professional degree, which would limit federal student loans to $100,000 for graduate programs and $200,000 for professional degrees.
Jennifer McGuire Hitt with Tennessee Nurses Association says the move risks undoing years of work to rebuild the profession's image after COVID discouraged applicants. Tennessee already short about 15,000 nurses, and she warns the change could deepen the health crisis and leave patients waiting for care.
So we're going to lose 1 in 5 nurses. So we really cannot afford to lose more. We cannot really afford to have a dip in enrollment.
Educational levels in the profession continue to rise, with more than 73% of registered nurses holding at least a bachelor's degree. Danielle Smith reporting.
And Oregon's farmworker union PACUN and its allies are calling for a work and school stoppage day tomorrow in order to show support for immigrant communities that are threatened by increased immigration customs enforcement. PACUN Executive Director Reynon Lopez says immigrants are the backbone of the state's economy.
We are the people who cook your food. We care for your gardens. Our hands tend to grapes that bottle your favorite wines.
They're asking Oregonians to avoid all economic activities, including work and shopping, for 24 hours tomorrow to push back against what organizers call cruel and illegal tactics by ICE agents. This is Public News Service. A new report from the Better Life Lab at North America shows that an uptick in immigration and customs enforcement actions is prompting anxiety among Arizona mothers and their child care providers.
With 1 in 5 providers and early childhood educators foreign-born, ICE raids are having a chilling effect on migrants who do this work. Arizona State University's Chris Herbst says the sharp uptick in ICE raids is having a negative effect on this sector of the labor market because mothers who can't find care for their kids are forced to quit their jobs.
Essentially, what's happening is that because parents, in particular mothers, rely on having stable child care available in order to work, anytime there's a disruption in the child care market, it obviously disrupts mothers' ability to go to work and do their job.
The Trump administration contends that deporting undocumented immigrants opens up the labor market for more U.S.-born workers to find jobs. I'm Mark Moran.
And extreme heat is an intensifying issue in North Carolina. A report could help guide lawmakers toward solutions in next year's session.
Clean Air NC and the North Carolina Public Health Association spoke with people in Charlotte over the summer about the challenges they face from excessive heat. Kennedy Williams with Clean Air NC says people across communities are experiencing heat in similar ways and also struggling to reach resources that could protect them.
Everybody experiences extreme heat, but most people are like, okay, but where's the closest cooling station? Okay, if I don't have a cooling station, what can I do? Do I need to stay at home? Do I need to hydrate?
The report focuses on a few key themes, such as providing more shade and tree canopy to neighborhoods, access to cooling and hydration centers, and assistance with energy costs and air conditioners. It received positive responses from focus groups this summer, including community members, faith-based participants, emergency responders, and healthcare providers. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Finally, record-breaking floodwaters continue to wreak havoc on communities across Washington state. Farm workers are some of the hardest hit.
Governor Bob Ferguson has declared a statewide emergency and estimates 100,000 residents could face evacuation orders. Rosalinda Guillen of Community to Community Development explains that migrant farm workers face a difficult choice. They risk dangerous flooding if they stay at work, yet many cannot afford to lose even a single day's pay. Guillen quotes one worker she spoke with recently.
She said, "I'm a single mom. I'm not going to be able to make the rent because I'm missing these 2 days of work." Our communities are living paycheck to paycheck. So there's a huge impact when they can't work.
Guillen says migrant workers need to be eligible to receive paid hazard leave for extreme weather events in Washington, and her organization will be pushing for that in the upcoming legislative session. I'm Isabel Charlet.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member endlessly supported. You can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Justice Department filed suits December 12th to compel Massachusetts, Colorado, Hawaii, and Nevada to turn over voter registration records, including citizenship records and personal data. Delaware, Maryland, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington were sued December 2nd, bringing the total to 18.
DOJ confirmed in September that it is amassing the data in a central database and sharing it with the Department of Homeland Security. To date, only Indiana and Wyoming have fully complied, according to a tracker by the Brennan Center for Justice. In a statement concerning the latest suits, Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon said, "States have the statutory duty to preserve and protect their constituents from vote dilution. If states will not fulfill their duty to protect the integrity of the ballot, we will," unquote. A study of the states President Trump accused of widespread illegal voting during the 2016 election found non-citizen voting was an almost non-existent 0.0001%. Two GOP-run states, Nebraska and South Carolina, filed for state injunctions to prevent election officials from releasing the information. Maine requested its case be dismissed on protected speech grounds, and a class action lawsuit by the voters and the League of Women Voters argues the database is a direct violation of the 1974 Privacy Act. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. False and misleading information about climate change is widespread on social media, and it can be hard to know how to respond when a friend or loved one believes that misinformation.